I'm so glad that you're here with me. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and I'm your host for What's the Truth. Today, I want to share with you just some things that the Lord has been impressing on my heart. And maybe this is your first time listening to the podcast. And if so, welcome. So glad that you're here. But maybe you've been listening for a long time. I feel like the Lord is asking me to turn the podcast more into seasons, so that way we can focus on very specific topics. Now, if you're not sure what seasons are with podcasting, I'll just give you a quick breakdown. A season typically consists of, 7 episodes, 14 episodes, kind of thinking of it as a Netflix series or one of your favorite shows that you watch. They come in seasons and they have very specific number of episodes per season. And that's kind of the way that I am going to be doing the podcast. But with each season, we're going to be talking about very specific things. And there is nothing better that I would love to start season one than with this topic, facing off with your feelings. Yes, I have just released a book this month talking about facing off with your feelings. But the reality is that I want to challenge you to really put this into practice. So today we're going to kick off with facing off with your feelings with God. We're going to be talking about why do we need to do this? Why do we need to face off with our feelings? We're going to be talking about why God first, and can you trust him? And the third thing we're going to be talking about is what does this look like to practically walk this out with God? Because I think in reality, that is really what you want to know. I'm sure that you have heard many times before that we need to heal or our feelings are not our guide. I'm sure that you know that, but throughout this season, I would love for us to also get practical. What does this look like in our everyday life? But before we even get into today's episode, I just want to share with you some of the episodes coming in this season. Next week, we're going to be talking about face off with your feelings about your dark past. We're going to be talking about this month, face off with your feelings from an abusive past. We're going to be talking about face off with your feelings about your body of unforgiveness of God's purpose for you. There's some more coming in this season. So I want to be sure that you hit follow now so that you can not miss an episode in this season. I want you to be here with me. I want us to face off with our feelings together. And most importantly, I want you to know that your feelings are not bad. Your feelings do not mean that you are a sinful person. Feelings alone are not sin. Can feelings lead us to sin? Absolutely. But you having feelings, that does not make you a sinful person. And it does not make you a bad person. So to get us started off with this episode, I think it's important that we really understand why we need to actually face off with our feelings. But the most important thing I think we need to recognize is that God is not condemning you for your feelings. He's not shaming you into feelings. He is not taking your pain and using it against you. See, we face off with our feelings because we are made in his image. We can do this because of that. In Genesis 1, 26 to 29, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" I love this, that we get to face off with our feelings with God because we're made in his image and there's nothing that can be hidden from him. There's 4 key things I want you to think about in the scripture. 1, he's given us identity, meaning in his image. The second thing, he's given us purpose. He's given us dominion over the earth. 3, he's given us authority. That means that we have dominion over the earth. So purpose and authority go together because we have purpose, meaning we've been given dominion over the earth and we've been given authority to back up the purpose that we've been given because we have dominion. And he's given us the fourth thing, provision over supplies. Because it says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So he's given us provision. In my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I talk about one of the chapters, chapter 4, is talking about addressing your whole self. And really throughout my book, I lay these foundations where it's about foundation, understanding, and application throughout the chapters. But one of the most important chapters, I believe, is really a foundational piece, which is addressing your whole self. And that means spirit, soul, and body. Because our soul connects the spirit to our physical. So we transform into the image that we pursue. So we want to face off with our feelings with God, because the image that we pursue is what we will transform into. So if we pursue our feelings and not God at the same time, we're probably going to start to look more like the world. We're probably going to start to really be angry and hold that hostility, or we begin to let our emotions fester and then kind of begins to erupt onto everything and everyone around us. And so one, we do this with God because we are made in his image. Two, in my book, I talk about the importance of addressing our whole self, which is spirit, soul, and body. Therefore, we cannot deny how important our soul is, which is our mind, will, and our emotions. In the book, I really break down each step. So one, that you can understand it, but two, what does it look like practically? I think that's so important for me, especially when I was growing emotionally and spiritually. I needed to know, how do I apply what I'm reading into my everyday life? And I think that in the book, I really break this down for you in case you've ever felt overwhelmed on how to apply what scripture says. But if we move on to the second point of today's talk, is why God first? And can you trust him? And I have to say this, the number one thing, he's the only one who is the answer to our pain. I think many of us sometimes, we, no matter what good or bad that happens, we just kind of put it all on God. And I think the most important thing that we can remember is that at the fall is when sickness and pain and the works of the flesh and fear came into the picture. It was through the choices of Adam and Eve that fall happened and the separation came and sin entered the world. It wasn't God's choice. He didn't want to punish us with sickness and disease and fear, but it happened at the fall. In the book, I talk about how there is a reason things happen, but not everything happens for a reason. Sometimes we get lost in the fact that Jesus and God, I feel like sometimes we try to put a spiritual band-aid on our pain and we try to say things like, well, okay, God has a purpose for this. And God wanted this to happen so that I could give glory to God for this. And can God use bad things for good? Absolutely. Can he take the horrific pain and past that you've been through and make good things? Absolutely. But there's a difference in our words and in understanding the doctrine that God is not causing bad things to happen to you for his glory or your pain so that you can learn a lesson. I want you to think of it kind of this way, especially now that we have a new nature in Christ. We no longer have a sin nature. Therefore, we might have a sin habit, but we don't have a sin nature. We are seated in heavenly places. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen heir. We are adopted. So you might not feel like a new person, and you might feel like your feelings are all over the place, even though you know Jesus. But I want you to think about a robber coming into your house and you get home and just the robber has made a mess. Your couch is flipped upside down. Things are, you know, all over the place. Now, however, the robber is gone at this point, but your house is now in this disarray. I want you to think about that in terms of you were once a slave to sin, meaning the robber, aka the enemy, used to have a stronghold on you. You were a slave to Satan. I know that sounds really yucky, but when we are not born again, we do not have the kingdom. We cannot see the kingdom. We cannot experience the kingdom. But after accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and confessing that, we now have a new nature. So therefore, the robbery, Satan, the enemy, has left you, but he's kind of left the house in disarray. Meaning our mind now has to be renewed to the truth. It has to be nurtured and cared for with love and kindness so that you can begin to walk in the full authority that you have on this earth, the dominion that you have. This is important because sometimes we're so hard on ourselves with our feelings and we go to God, but we have to understand what really happened at the fall. And we also have to understand just how good God is to you, and that he's not causing these bad things to happen or the pain that you feel or the feelings that you have to teach you these lessons. Number two, trust hinges on consistency of word and action. All of God's promises are yes and amen. Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. When we read in the Gospels, we can see that who he was on earth is who God is. Jesus was the perfect work, and we are placed in Jesus. So until we are born again, everything is happening in our flesh. That is why we become born again. My own personal story, and I share so many personal stories inside of my new book, Face Off With Your Feelings, especially about my own dark past, especially about where I believe that God was always teaching me lessons, whether he brought me sickness to teach me a lesson, or I lived in shame for the many years that I was kind of a hustle person and a workaholic. And I was just striving to survive. And I thought that when my body kind of broke down 3 or 4 years ago, that that was my punishment. Now, does sin have consequences? Absolutely. But he is not the author of sin. God is not the author of sin. Therefore, he cannot be the author of its consequences. So the moment I turned my eyes from looking at God as this person that just constantly wanted to teach me things in every good and every bad, I was actually able to go to him and say, God, I know that you want to see me well. I know that your word brings reproof. It brings correction. It brings guidance. It brings conviction, but it will never bring condemnation. It will never bring shame. Trust hinges on consistency of word and action. And we even see in the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees how some of them were either word or action, but rarely ever both, especially based on what they believed about the law and what they believed about the resurrection and angels and the spiritual things that happen on this earth. But for me, I wrestled in a lot of my feelings, and I had a lot of undoing. I had a lot of undoing of being able to go to the Father, whose name is Jehovah Rapha, which I have the really cute stickers name to go along with the book, because that was important for me. I needed to be reminded that Jesus, that God is the healer. You would not go to a doctor that was giving you sickness to also go to him for healing. Now you're probably wondering, okay, what does this look like practically? Now, the first thing I want you to think about is we have to create space. We have to create space emotionally and physically. We have to be able to read God's word. We have to be able to put it into place. We have to be able to sit with him and have dialogue with him about who he is so that we can learn about who we are. And maybe you're thinking, my schedule is already full. But here are some things I want you to think about. What about picking up your phone at that stoplight? What about you waiting at your doctor's appointment and you're on your phone? What about your lunch breaks or your 15-minute breaks at work? What about the carpool line? I want you to think about the pockets of time that you have that may not be big pockets of time, but pockets of time that you fill with your phone or a podcast or whatever it is, so that you're not paying attention to what you're thinking about, or you're just going from one thing to the next and you're not allowing yourself to slow down, breathe, giving yourself a minute to address and to tend to your soul with the Lord. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this. I'm just saying, instead of picking up your phone at a red light for 30 seconds, just talk to God. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm angry. God, I'm really happy today. God, I'm just so thankful for you. Or just allowing yourself to be silent. We don't always have to talk. The second thing is, it's my 5-second face-off challenge for you. This is your 5-second to face off with your feelings. Before you react or respond, I want you to think of this question. Does this help or does this hinder? Because when we face off our feelings with God and we give ourselves one, space, but two, we ask ourselves this important question. It allows us to slow down for a few seconds because we know in between the trigger and the response is very few seconds. But if we can be aware, because we're creating space to be aware of our thoughts, then we can begin to acknowledge, okay, I'm going to make a decision. Does this help or hinder? Because the next thing that you do is going to determine pain or healing. The third thing, journal. I cannot tell you how much journaling has helped me in the healing process, in really even talking with God and praying and being more clear about things. Journaling has been huge for me. You might be thinking, but I'm not a journaler. That's okay. I don't need you to be perfect at this. I don't need you to spend, 30 minutes writing. I just want you to take a few moments and just to jot down what it is that you're feeling, because maybe you have a really hard time expressing what you're feeling because you don't feel safe, because you don't feel heard. But we know that God hears us and we know that we are seen by God. Therefore, whatever we write or journal, we're getting it out to God if nobody else. That is your safe place. Remember, we can trust him because it hinges on consistency of word and action. He always does what he says he's going to do. Let me share those three practical things again. You're going to create the space. You're going to do your 5-second face-off challenge. And you're going to journal. Those are the three things. Practical. These are not big things, but I know that you can do one or two. And maybe when you create that space at the doctor's office or lunch break or carpool line or grocery line, that you even journal at that time. In one of those times. I guess it's probably a little hard to journal when you're at a red light. But even if you need to jot down a few things like that you need to express to somebody, because it all matters. I'm excited to be on this journey with you and go through this season of facing off with your feelings. Be sure to hit follow on the podcast. I'd love for you to pick up my new book, Face Off With Your Feelings. Again, this book, it really answers the question of when I hear people, especially women, say to me, I know that I need to renew my mind. I know that God loves me. I know that I need and want healing, but I don't know how. This answers the how. I walk you through practically how to renew your mind, what happens in your brain. So what I do is take clinical and biblical and I make it practical. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave a rating and review as well. And I can't wait to see you next week talking about facing off with your feelings about your dark past. as always, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.